Hey, what's up, Bipolar Chucker? Just FYI, I don't edit these because I just want to keep it real. That's not true. Truthfully, I don't know how. But coming through you to you through the Anchor app on my iPhone, which I love, by the way. And anyway, this episode might get a little bit serious. I'm going to be talking about my own personal battles with bipolar disorder. You probably thought Bipolar Chucker is just some catchy name that I came up with. Although, I do think it's catchy. Unfortunately, it's also true. And, I just think that it's something that needs to be brought to light. I mean, it's one of those things, like if you're missing a leg, everybody notices, you know, and they give you some sort of a break because of that. Not to, you know, say that people that are missing legs don't deserve any breaks, but the problem with mental illness is that people can't see it. Sometimes it might seem obvious after the fact, you know, when you look back and say, oh, okay, that makes sense. That motherfucker's crazy. Well, you know, for me, man, my life was pretty fucking good growing up. I had a good family. A stepdad that was pretty lazy and annoying, but you know, he didn't beat me up or do drink a bunch of beer and yell at my mother or anything, so I can't really, you know, complain about that. We always had food, always had some place to live, never lived out of hotels or anything like that. We didn't have a lot of money. I grew up, most of my life was spent in a low-income apartment housing type situation. In a lot of ways, I'm glad that I grew up like that because I had to learn to be tough, you know. I got picked on a lot. I was a small kid, especially like, let's say, middle school-ish. I was maybe 4'10" in the 8th grade, right? I played sports, played football, played baseball, and I wrestled. I was decent at all of those things. You know, I excelled quite a bit with the wrestling. I enjoyed it. And really, wrestling kind of taught me how to stand up for myself in a lot of ways. You know, I consider wrestling a martial art. If you don't believe me, go fuck with a guy that had a lot of success as a wrestler and see how fast you end up on your back. Frankie Edgar probably begs to differ after that loss he just took to Brian T. City the other night. Made that wrestling look a little weak, but he's a fucking G. Shit happens, man. Shit happens. But anyways, man, to get back on subject, I just thought, you know, there's probably other people out there dealing with some of the same issues. And maybe like me for so many years, they don't even realize what's going on. I would go days without sleeping. That's with no drugs, you know, days without sleeping. I used to smoke shitloads of weed just because it made me feel normal and I could sleep. Truthfully, I still would if I didn't have this fucking job. It really did help me. It didn't help me get jobs. because of the stigma that goes with it. And I don't know if it would ever, ever be allowed for a truck driver to smoke or take edibles, even when they're not working, because I don't know how they'd ever regulate that. So I don't look to see it. But anyway, so as I got older, my problems got worse. I would experiment more with drugs and anything to try to quiet my brain. You know, it'd be moving 1,000 miles a minute. You know, a lot of people that are bipolar experience depression. I really experienced the upside more than anything, the mania. And man, it's made having relationships and shit like that very difficult, man, because I'm known to be a pretty nice guy, you know, sometimes I would do some really fucked up shit. You know, shit that would blow your mind, really. You know, I'm the, not now, but I used to be the type of motherfucker that would steal something from a gas station and have $1,000 in my pocket. And I don't mean something worth stealing. I mean something fucking petty, just weird. You know, and I liked to do shit like that while people were looking at me because I thought I was smarter than them. They call it delusions of grandeur. I legitimately, when I would be in that state, would think I was better and smarter than other people. And that's exactly why it was difficult to be my friend, or, you know, more so my girlfriend. You know, I just, I had no idea. I had no idea. It was like I was two different people from one day to the next. You know, I'd be the type of guy to give you the shirt off my back, and I'd also be the type of guy to rob a drug dealer. It's odd, I know, but I would do the riskiest shit. You know, I'll tell you what, where it really like reached its peak, where I started to think, man, I might be a little different than other people. You know, I found myself taking somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 to 40 Norco hydrocodones every fucking day. Do you know how much money the street value was $5 to $6 a piece? Okay, so 20 right there, you know, that's $100. That's $100 a day just to keep 20. And 20 really was the minimum that I would take. I'd take 6 to 8 of them at a time, and I might dose myself 3 or 4 times a day. So you could imagine what type of shit I was doing to acquire that. And only somebody like me, only the most devious of the devious type motherfuckers, bipolar type motherfuckers, can even put themselves in a situation to get that type of quantity. You know, that's just, I don't, I would call it bad luck, you know. Now, at the time, I thought it was pretty fucking good luck, but I grew up around a lot of different types of people, people that sold drugs. I sold drugs. And, you know, I found myself wrapped up in a drug dealing ring, I would say. You know, I met a dude, which I'd already knew him, but I didn't know him well. And we're gonna call him Smurve. And old Smurve was getting hydrocodones by the 5 gallon bucket. He would get those 5 gallon buckets twice a week. We're talking about 30,000 pills, is what we're talking about. Just fucking insane, right? And so I went from having a small pill addiction to having a large pill addiction really quick. It was insane, man. I mean, I'm really lucky to be alive. I remember one time he said, he asked me if I'd go with him to cop because he had a couple of connections, and this particular connection hadn't contacted him for 6 months. And these dudes came down from Detroit with the pills, and they had contacted him. And like I said, he hadn't talked to him in 6 months, so he was like, man, that's a lot of money. Do the math. He was paying $2.25 a pill, and he would buy 15,000 pills. So, that's a chunk of cheddar, So he was worried that it was a setup, but he didn't want to miss out. If not, because they were like 25 cents cheaper than his other plug on the bills. So the plan was, I would go in there early and park where I could see this apartment with an assault rifle, and he would get there, meet with the dudes, and if he took his hat off, he wanted me just to start shooting. Now, that's what addiction does to you. Because I said, yeah, cool, man. Because I'm really, man, I'm an adrenaline junkie. I'm not into, toting assault rifles and getting in gunfights, but I would, apparently wasn't opposed to it either. Fortunately, it went off without a hitch, But I was on my way home when it hit, and I started shaking, and from head to toe, I just could not believe that I just put myself in that situation. And I thought, man, I have got to do something. I've got to do something, And I ended up moving from where I lived then and separating myself from those type of connections. But I still had an addiction. And I was able to find doctors and shit that would feed that addiction. And I even got off the hydros and got on something else at the time. And it really, it was just trading addictions is what it was, but it was still a narcotic. It still was an opiate. Then moved back down to Kentucky, right? And I ended up getting in a drug rehabilitation program. And what they were doing, man, is they were dealing drugs. They were giving me Suboxone strips, And I would take three of them at a time. That's how bad my addiction was. Three of them would kill me right now. It would kill you if you're not addicted, if you're not heavily addicted to opiates, it'd fucking kill you. One of them, you think you'd probably need to go to the hospital. You at least think you were gonna die. But I was taking three of them just to get out of withdrawal, the sweats, sick to your stomach. Man, dude, it was terrible. So I stayed in this program for a couple months. Part of the program was to go through this counseling. And this is what led to me finding out I was bipolar, was meeting with counselors and going through this mental health program. But I talked to this counselor one day, and I said, so, how many people have you had graduate from this program to where they weren't taking narcotics at all? and she said that she had a lady who was taking a quarter of a strip every other day. And at first I was like, huh, that's awesome. And then I was like, hold on a second. So fucking zero. Zero people you know of came through this program and completely got off the Suboxone. The answer was fucking zero. So I looked at her and I was supposed to get a prescription that day. And it hit me. Shit's hopeless. Right? Fucking trapped. They got me. So, and I had a job that I was supposed to start the next week. So I had 1 week in my mind. I was like, fuck it, I can do it. I can get over it in time, start this job. So I told the lady, I said, well, next time you tell this story, you can tell them you got one. Because I'm never taking one. I'm never taking a Suboxone. I'm never taking an opiate again. And I walked out. I went home now with no medication whatsoever, knowing that tomorrow when I woke up was going to be the worst fucking day of my life. At least it was going to feel that way. Because one of the things about withdrawal, man, is that it's a lot mental, right? So you're not feeding your brain what it wants. And it's trying to get you to take that shit. So it starts, your body starts searching for the drug anywhere it can find. So all your pores start to sweat. And it's just looking for anything with the drug on it. I mean, it's crazy. Then you start going through this depression. You just feel like the whole world is fucked up and your whole world's crashing down around you. You don't feel loved. You feel sad and sick and tired. So, I was married at the time. My wife, who is currently my girlfriend, who has her own set of problems. You know, she suffers from depression heavily. She grew up in a pretty terrible type situation in a pretty terrible fucking neighborhood. And, her mind paid the price for that. She's a beautiful person, though. She said she's big into fitness, and she was getting ready to start doing Insanity. And she read somewhere on the internet that the best thing you could do for those withdrawals is get up and move around. So she figured if I started Insanity, you couldn't get no better than that. Right? So the first day I had without pills or Suboxone in 4 years, I started an Insanity exercise program, fucking Shaun-T kicking your ass day in and day out. But I gotta tell you, man, anybody out there struggling with addiction, man, that's the way to go, man. Replace that shit with something good, something difficult, but something that's going to make you feel accomplished, okay? But the exercise seemed to really work that shit through my system, work that detox process a little faster. So after about 4 days, I started to feel better, but 3 days straight, I could barely get out of bed and I wanted to kill myself. And it's a fact. There's no, I'm not going to candy coat it, you know. But, FYI, anybody out there that's going through that shit, I'm not better than you. I'm not better than you. I'm no tougher than you. and I'm no better than you. If I can do it, absolutely anybody can do it, okay? But you gotta decide that no matter what, no matter how you fucking feel, you're gonna fight. This is a fucking fight. And you gotta enter it like it's a fight. You know, and for people that maybe have never been in a fight or had to fight anything, you know, it's gonna be difficult. You know? But you can kick that shit's ass. So anyway, still going through that withdrawal and shit. I'm not sleeping really at all, which is part of it. But I start going into a severe manic state where I can't sleep. My mind's racing 1,000 miles a minute. And that's the bipolar. And I still, at this point in time, didn't know that's what it was. So I started this job on a Monday. On Sunday, I had to take a bus ride in full fucking withdrawal to Kansas City. And there's this chick with no teeth on the bus, man. She's like, oh, he's talking shit the whole way. I wanted to choke myself out, right? But she was keeping my mind occupied. And I got there, got to my hotel, and the next morning I woke up and I still felt pretty bad, but a lot better. So now we're on like day 7 without pills, you know. I didn't sleep. I go in there, do their orientation and shit. It's 3 days for the shit. And by the time I got my truck to leave, I started to feel better. I felt like I'd accomplished something and that, you know, I might really be able to do it. But I was still in this manic state, though. I was still really hyperverbal, just lacking sleep. But I get out there in my truck, man, and I really start to get myself settled down and settled in to doing my job, and things get better, you know. But a few months go by, and I'm feeling great. Then I find myself inside of a Flying J, about to wait in a long ass line to buy a drink. And that's when I decided, well, fuck it, I'm gonna scan my paperwork in, you know. So I do. I scan my paperwork in, and then I end up, I've set my drink down on the top of the transflow machine, scanning my paperwork in, and this dude comes over, and he was like, hey, I need you to pay for that drink. And I was like, yeah, no problem, man, just let me finish scanning this paperwork. I was going to pay for it. And for some reason, I grabbed it and took a drink of it. And for some reason, he didn't like that. And he was like, I need you to pay for it now. And I was like, hold on a second, dude. I've just got to get this receipt. So he knocks it out of my hand. Well, I wasn't going to pay for it after that. You know. And we got to arguing. The police came. And I still, the cops, they were like, look, just pay for the drink. And I was like, no. And I want to file assault charges against this dude. So, anyway, the agreement was that the cops tried to make was that if I drop my charge, my case for the assault, that he would drop the case for the drink because they're trying to get me with fucking shoplifting. Even though I never left, but it's because I refused to pay for the drink. If I would have paid for it, it could have been over. And I would have probably beat it if I went to court anyway. So, you know, they knew that. It's just, I don't know. There's technicalities involved I don't understand. And the criminal justice system is a little corrupt. But, anyway, so this dude, I realized that he was terrified of going to jail. And he kept saying, is he going to drop the charges? And I was like, you know what, man? No. We're going to jail. We're going. And his eyes lit up. I was like, nah, man. We're going to jail. I'm going to make you pay for knocking that fucking drink out of my hand. I was like, I'm not afraid to go to jail. You, on the other hand, you seem afraid. So I'm going to give you the thing you're afraid of. Since you want to be a badass and knock drinks out of motherfuckers' hands. The cops even thought that was funny. They laughed. They were like, what the fuck? They were like, are you serious? I was like, I'm fucking dead serious. And you know what's funny, man? Those cops didn't respect that dude at all because they knew he put me in a precarious situation. But they respected me. They even let me smoke a fucking cigarette outside before they put me in the car and let me smoke another cigarette before I went into jail. I was out in a few hours, but I didn't like my reaction, and that's why I ended up going to a psychologist to see what the fuck was going on, because I really should have probably handled that a different way, you know, and I fucking definitely should have handled it a different way. So I went to go see a psychologist after that, found out I was bipolar. And that was the issue. That's why I had trouble sleeping. That's why I'd have this mania. That's why I'd spend months at a time thinking I was some kingpin fucking drug dealer, or spend months, or in some cases years at a time, taking drugs and pills, like just trying to quiet what was going on in my head, you know? And it all started to make sense where I could try to recognize some of these things before they happen, you know? That's another thing, man. There's a lot of, like, most of the medications for my disorder, you can't take if you're a truck driver. So I don't take anything. And because of that, you know, I still have some issues. But you know, I try to handle these things. I can recognize signs of my disorder. Some people can't do that, by the way. They're, you know, I don't recommend, if you're bipolar, I do not recommend not taking your meds, okay? There's no doctor out there that thinks that it's okay that I don't take my medication, and I'm sure they're just waiting for me to end up with a fucking felony someday because I got off on a 3-day fucking mania bender and decided I could make better money robbing banks. You know, our jails are full of people with similar issues to mine. You know, it's amazing that I don't have any felonies. But I'm not going to lie to you. I've done some felony shit way back in the day. You know, I'm not worried about saying that because we're talking about 15, 20 years. I've never killed anybody, and I've never done anything like that, but nothing that that would warrant the police still looking for me, you know? But, man, it's been a rough road, you know? I let my family down all the time. You know, I don't blame it on this disorder, but you know, I make some odd decisions, you know, and I do it so much less nowadays, you know, and my life is so much better, right? And you know, I'm a good dad, but as far as trying to be in a relationship with me, my ex-wife. I don't know why she's still here. I've talked to other women. I've done just stupid shit. Let myself get strung out on this shit, thinking I was somebody else, and lost sight of what was important and shit in my life, And if you're out there feeling some type of way, and the things that you do don't seem normal, or the way you feel doesn't seem normal, don't be afraid to tell somebody. Don't be afraid to go to and make an appointment. Go see. I'd say most importantly, man, go to a counselor. They'll hook you up with psychologists and psychiatrists as necessary. I'm not a huge proponent for taking a bunch of medication, but that's because I've had drug problems. There's got to be some kind of resources, no matter where you live. There's some kind of resources. They're not great. Our system definitely needs a lot of work and a lot of help. But that's one of the reasons I'm out here even talking about it. It's not something that I want to talk about. It's not something that makes me happy. My bipolar self doesn't want you to know that about me. But just keeping it real that that you're never gonna be cured of certain things, man. And you gotta come to terms with that type of shit. Mental illness is real. But it can be controlled. And most definitely, if you're depressed and you're feeling shitty and feeling down about yourself, get some exercise, especially you truck drivers out there, man. You got to get out of that truck. You got to get some exercise. You've got to not let your blood pressure get up over every little situation. Take shit as it comes, man. Hey, it's Bipolar Trucker. I love you, motherfuckers. I'm out.